What's good? What's good? We're back. You're truly one and only Paul Pigger, host of the Paul Pigger Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video of Rich Paul talking about who really holds the power in the NBA with JJ Redick. Before we do that, though, I want to give you a word from promopalace.biz.
Music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pull promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
That's right. You heard a beautiful lady for the online marketing promotions for your music, product, brand, or service. Please go to promopalace.biz. Also get 15% off music promo at promopalace.biz. Use coupon code LABORDAY2023 in checkout, and you get 15% off site-wide. All right, let's get into it.
Watching our channel, please hit that subscribe button.
I had Andre Iguodala on the podcast, and he said something that was I thought was really interesting. He said, the players want to be owners. They want what the owners have, which is wealth and some level of anonymity. They don't want to fucking have to have security with them, and they ask for autographs and pictures all the time, right? They want the wealth, and yes. They want the access.
Yeah.
They also want the anonymity, and they want the ownership. And the owners all want to be players. And you mentioned the word ego earlier. I think it's the ego, whether it's an agent, front office, ownership, coaches, players. It's the biggest variable in a team sport. It's the biggest variable, to be honest with you, in the league.
So 100%.
I was with Ben Winston last night. Told him you were coming on the pod.
Ben.
And he said, ask Rich, where is the power in sports? Because it gets thrown around all the time now. It's a players' league. It's a player. Oh, player empowerment. It's gone too far. Where's the power in sports?
Man.
And if it's not in one place, what do you think the breakdown is?
So from a player's perspective, I think the power in sports is layered, right? As a player, how do I maintain my power? Well, it starts with your play. That's number one, right? And then coming out of your play or prior to your play, it starts with your approach. It's your approach, your play, then your professionalism. That equals your power, because if I have a guy whose approach is right, who's playing at that level and is professional, I got all the power in the world. And the owners, they're going to respect and accept and enhance that power, right?
Let me chime in right there. Because JJ Redick said something earlier where he said, the players all want to be like the owners, or they all want to be owners. And what he's saying is, they respect you more when you act like owners and not players, you know, because he said you're playing good. So that means you're putting 100% effort into it, your approach, which is like not getting in trouble away from the game, I would say, and professionalism. And they will respect you a lot more and treat you more like a owner. That's why Giannis, I just seen Giannis's extension. What is it? 3 years, $186 million. That's over $60.2 million a year. Like, you see the power? Giannis plays hard every night, plays well every night. His approach, his professionalism, Giannis has all the power, man. $62 million a year. Wow.
So the players feel like, and in some, I mean, I didn't hear it, I have to hear the pod, but just looking at the landscape of the league today, nobody in the league, well, very few guys in the league actually has the power to move the needle and have impact in things. But because you may be making max money, you feel like you do. And we all know.
I like that. Let me chime in real quick. And who are those players? Giannis. Probably Nikola Jokic. Not too many. Steph Curry. I would say Steph Curry. I don't know if Embiid does. I don't know if KD does, because if he did, why would they leave? Why would KD leave? And Embiid, I don't know if he really has the power to move the needle. Yeah, it's like four guys. LeBron, Curry, Giannis, and Jokic. Who else is out there that's got the power to move the needle? Anybody that's won championship super heavy? I can't think of them. Giannis won a championship. Steph's won championships. LeBron's won championships. Jokic just won a championship. If you ain't winning no championship, it's damn near almost possible for you to have the power to move the needle too. I would throw that in there as well, because I can't think of no guys who got the power to move the needle that don't have a championship right now. I can't think of one. I don't know that KD has the power to move the needle, because, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. Maybe Kawhi did at some point, because he did win a championship. After the championship, Toronto, Kawhi definitely did have the power. He got Paul George over there. He's probably losing that power, though. But you're talking about five guys in the league in the last, I don't know how many years, that have had the power to really move the needle.
That is not true. That's why I hate that word max, because it gives you max. This entitlement. And that's where you lose it all. Between that entitlement and your ego, you start, and it really stunts the growth of you professionally.
When that happens.
And before JJ Redick chimes in, I hate to cut off again, but thank you, Rich Paul, for saying that NBA players are definitely fucking entitled. And some of them shouldn't be acting entitled. There's always levels to this shit. There's always levels to this shit.
On a large scale, and by a large scale, I don't mean 450 players. Let's call it a handful. Not an anomaly. Not a once every 3 year thing.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, and I'm not saying Anthony was like this, but Anthony asking out, Kawhi asking out, James now, Dame. These are all guys, max guys, right?
Right. But all different scenarios.
Very different scenarios. Yes. I want to point that out. Anthony and Kawhi didn't sign their super maxes, and they basically got traded the year before they hit free agency. But, and by the way, they had every right, I think, to ask for a trade. I'm not suggesting that. But when this happens now consistently, is it bad for the league? Is it bad for the perception of the league?
Yeah, the perception, because I can't necessarily say it's bad for the league, because in that case, then you have to flip the coin and say, well, is it bad for the league to trade a player while he's asleep? Because the players don't get to choose, right? When they sign a contract.
I can agree with that. Like, the perception is bad, but it's kind of hypocritical to say it's bad to ask for players to ask out when they could get traded, like, literally while they're sleeping.
Track, unless you have a no-trade clause or whatnot, or unless you're in the last year of your deal or whatnot. Like, they don't get to choose. And so I just think every situation is different. Like, in Anthony's case, he had no business signing a five-year deal to begin with. Because at that time, what did the team show you that warranted them to have you committed for 5 years. But just going back to the ego, and it's going back to the agent, right? The agent's job, it, for me as an agent, and I'm in a different position because my life isn't totally dependent of a commission, right? So I have the ability, and I did this prior too, by the way. When I started the company, my focus was always to do what's best for the client. That was our thing. That's actually one of our things internally that we built the business on. Always do what's best for the client. Even if I didn't make any money or we didn't make any money as a company, I'm not signing Anthony Davis to a 5-year deal at that time. They're losing every year. But they do, or they did. Why? Because that commission is committed to you. So now the money has taken the strategy out of it. People don't, when LJ came back to Cleveland, I was making no money. All my existing contracts were somewhere else, Bled, Tristan, Corey. And when LeBron came to Cleveland, I got three people working, maybe two, actually working on payroll. And I got the ability to sign a max contract, 4 years committed at 4% coming to me. You know, despite the haters own the business, this and that, that's all false. But you get what I'm saying? I had to deal with that back then. I don't have to deal with that now. But back then, I had to deal with that. But when you think, if I'm thinking about me, I try to convince him to do a 4-year deal. But if I'm thinking about him, and again,
one plus one. Yeah.
This is what we did. Because, we huddled up internally, and then I had to have the conversation with him why we want to do this and why it made sense. There's nobody else in the room. There's nobody. It's not because I'm his boy. He understands it and he trusts it. And so, oh, this makes sense. Okay, this is what's happening. Boom, 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 boom. This is why we're doing this. But Rich Kleiman was okay with calling me and saying, hey, Rich, and we're friends. Hey, Rich, why did this? Here's why. Okay, cool. You get what I'm saying? Like,
and you're talking about with how they structured Kevin's deals in Golden State.
But
yes.
That's how it should go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it should go. Now, I don't.
It's not right for every player. Let's be clear on that. It's those type of contracts are right for Kevin Durant and LeBron James.
Most players should not do that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's a comment about power, mm-hmm. I think to some degree, there's levers, and every situation is different.
Yeah.
Where, and by levers, I mean leverage, right? So those levers can shift through a player's career, a team, the cycle they're on, ownership. There's a new owner. It comes with coaching contracts, right? Leverage is kind of everything, and it cycles back and forth. And I think to some degree, there are levers that stay pretty static in terms of power, in terms of who has the power in the NBA.
Yeah.
Here's my point. Ownership obviously has some power. Front offices, coaching staff, they have some power. Players have some power. We all kind of share in the power.
Yes.
I think what gets disruptive is when the ego creates the illusion of more power than it exists in reality.
You're absolutely right. And again, that goes for...
All right, let me chime in. I like what he said right there. I like what JJ said right there. Like, some of these players... their head gets a little too big for their britches, and they think they got more power than they do. They really do. Because, like, there's levels to this shit. Not only is there levers, there's levels to this shit. I mean, if you ain't won a championship for a franchise, you can't, your level of power definitely can't be the same as the cat who won a championship. And then when you ain't win a championship, you better be an all-NBA performer. You better be first team, second team, third all in, third team All NBA, or what are we talking about? If some of these cats are getting All NBA and really don't like Julius Randle, shouldn't have got All NBA this last time. So his head's probably a little too big for his britches, and you probably think he got too much power. There's a lot of cats gonna think they got too much power because they're the best player on a team. When you, I mean, somebody got to be the best player on the worst team. Somebody has to. And just because you're the best player on the worst team doesn't necessarily make you an all-star. It really doesn't. And you see what who was it? The Hawks got old boy from the Spurs, DeJounte Murray. Yeah, he's good. But he's not all NBA performer. He's borderline all-star. He's more of a six man, you know, just 19, 20 a night a guy coming off the bench, to be honest.
98% of the players in our league is more that than actual power. There's only about 2% of players in our league that actually have power. And then you have to really elaborate on that. What does that actually mean? Does that mean I could just get up and do whatever I want to do when I want to do it? No.
No, but here's the thing. For those players, they still have to do those three things you talked about.
Yeah.
They still have to approach it the right way. They still have to play at a high level.
Yes.
And they still have to be a pro.
Yes. No matter who you are, that's where you should start.
Look, there's two players to me. It's Bron and Steph. And when we talk about those three things, both those guys do it all the time. They're the most consistent motherfuckers there are.
All the time. And that's why when I actually did months ago, when I did the Gil, when I said, I wasn't trying to slight Steph. That wasn't my thing. I had nobody else to compare to, right? If we were having a bubble conversation.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
It is. I say it all the time. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, and Steph knows that because I talked to Steph, whatever. But I wasn't trying to slight him. I was just saying in terms of how the different superstars are viewed. And that's the other thing in our league. There's very few superstars, right? But people don't want to have that conversation. But there are. And again, when we're talking about the shoe deals and things like that, it's just different, man. Like and I think more and more players have to be educated, and they should lead with that, and they should trust that and want that. And you know what? Be willing to pay for that. And I'm not saying that from a self-serving perspective. I don't want nothing for less than.
Hey, what's up? Just want to thank you guys.
All right, so I like what he said there. And definitely there's only so many superstars. There's only a few superstars, and then you got all-stars. You know, and that's the thing. Not all the All-NBA guys. Like, not all the All-Stars are All-NBA guys, because there's more than 15 All-Stars. You know, there's at least 12 to 15 on each side. So only half of those are really – well, I think it's 12 All-Stars on each side, if I'm not mistaken. So only all but 9 of those are not really All-NBA performers, you know. But – yeah, there's a lot of egos, entitlement, cats thinking they got more power than they do. Haven't won nothing yet, but, you know, it's kind of like the Caleb Williams thing, and I'm going to react to the video with our couple where I don't know if it's true, but they said Caleb Williams wants a percentage of whatever team drafts him, like ownership. Like, I heard Aaron Rodgers asked for that with the Jets, but damn, I mean – look how much revenue the Jets and attention they got just because Aaron Rodgers is there. Like, if you start bringing a lot of attention, a lot of media, a lot of revenue to a market, yeah, I can see that. But Caleb Williams, like, say Caleb Williams goes to the Cardinals. What do you think? Everybody's going to be just paying attention to the Arizona Cardinals because Caleb Williams went there? Not unless they start winning. Not unless they start winning, man. I like Rich Paul though, as a agent, as a person. I know he gets a bad rep. A lot of people think, you know, he got too much power in the league, this, that, and the third. But self-made man. He says something in one video where he said, I'm always the smallest guy in the room taking the biggest swings. And I like the fact that he said, it's not always about what the player necessarily wants. He tries to do things in it, what's their best interest, you know? And as a music promoter, that's how I am, you know? Do what's in your best interest. Give you the best advice. If you follow through, you follow through. You don't. Even though my clients think they know what they want, but they don't know that what they want isn't necessarily the number one platform for, you know, getting best results and furthering their careers and whatnot. Because that's the thing. In every business, there's always supply and demand. But you can always give people the best advice, too. Like, people might, they like what they like and want what they want. But if there's something better out there that you offer, you as a honest businessman have the right to, you know, it's only right that you let them know and give them the best advice and let them know, yeah, you know, you might be buying this service, but this one is actually better. And yeah, it might cost a little bit more, but it's actually better. Shouts out to Rich Paul. Definitely watched the 60 Minutes interview and definitely liked what he had to say. Once again, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, like, comment, subscribe, share, and much more. And we're going to round up that outro and we out. Peace.